RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio. Here we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcasts. Amy Egan speaking alongside my colleague Marilyn Quintana. What are we doing today, Marilyn?
Today we are visiting the Prado Museum in Madrid, which will have some pieces missing over the next few months.
Well, not missing exactly, but travelling. El Arte que Conecta, the art that connects, is a project by the Prado Museum and Telefónica. It will see 18 of the museum's masterpieces visiting different regions within Spain.
Artworks by Velázquez, Goya, Rubens and Murillo, the Prado Museum's manager of preservation, Víctor Cajeao, will tell us all about the project after our newscast.
For today's broadcast, we have help from sound technician Juan Morello and production help from Cristina Dorado.
Now the news.
In the Middle East, Israel has answered Iran's April 13th attack with an attack of their own. Explosions were registered close to the Isfahan airport in the vicinities of a military base.
Iran has assured their aerial defense knocked down several drones and that they were not attacked with missiles. On Friday morning, they reopened airports after suspending all flights due to the attack. Asked about a possible response, their army suggested they would not retaliate.
After the attack, the international community once again called for restraint. Josep Borrell, High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy.
G7 llama una vez más a todos los actores a la contención.
Once again, the G7 calls for restraint from all actors. Any wrong calculus about each other's reaction can cause an escalation with a risk of war.
Just a few hours before the attack, the United States vetoed the entry of Palestine in the UN.
The draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the Council.
Out of the 15 countries voting, 12 agreed on the addition of Palestine as a full member and 2 abstained, the UK and Switzerland. Despite their veto, the United States assured that they continue to support a two-state solution, Robert Woods, representative of the USA in the United Nations.
The United States continues to strongly support a two-state solution. This vote does not reflect opposition to Palestinian statehood, but instead is an acknowledgement that it will only come from direct negotiations between the parties.
Israel thanked them for their support and for defending truth and morality, but the Palestinian representative considered this veto takes away their right to have a dignified life in an independent state.
Spanish Foreign Affairs Minister José Manuel Álvarez was present in the voting and defended the necessity of recognizing Palestine.
España va a reconocer al Estado palestino porque el pueblo palestino no puede
estar. Spain will recognize the Palestinian state because Palestinians can't be condemned to be a nation of refugees because it's the way to peace in the Middle East and because it's good for Israel's security.
After Israel's attack on Iran, Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez insisted on the recognition of the Palestinian state. The war must end, he wrote. It is imperative that the permanent ceasefire be applied immediately and that the two-state solution be implemented. He posted this on X, formerly known as Twitter. He also called for responsibility and restraint from all parties.
And in the Gaza Strip, Israel continues their offensive with the Rafah border crossing as their next objective. Josep Borrell, the EU's foreign policy chief, insists on restraint.
Don't attack Rafah. There are 1.7 million people in the streets without any kind of possibility of defending themselves, escaping.
Back in Spain, In the southern region of Andalusia, 9 farmers were arrested for allegedly setting an industrial unit on fire while its workers were still inside.
The incident took place back in February when the farmers' protests were taking place all over the country. The 25 workers were able to escape the fire through the emergency exit, and one of them had to be taken to the hospital for smoke inhalation.
The 9 people accused of causing the fire actively participated in farmers' protest forums, and they organized the attack via chat. The national police declared the detained were perfectly conscious of the presence of workers inside the unit at the moment of the attack. On Thursday, 14 women accused Spanish playwright Ramón Paso of sexual assault.
According to the women between the ages of 18 and 25, the assault took place during the casting calls between the years 2018 and 2023. Minister of Equality Ana Redondo took to social media to say that's important that victims of sexual violence feel accompanied by the institutions. She also asked for no tolerance for men who use their positions of power to harass and abuse women. In wake of this news, the Reina Victoria Theatre in Madrid cancelled Mr. Paso's play A Midsummer Night's Dream.
And the end of this week has witnessed 2 anniversaries, the first being that of our sister radio station, Radio 5, Todo Noticias, Radio 5, All News.
Son las 12, las 11 en Canarias. Radio Nacional de España comienza en estos momentos las emisiones de la nueva cadena Radio 5 Todo Noticias. Su programación...
The first broadcast of this station took place on the 18th of April of 1994, 30 years ago. The station's first director, Jesús Vivanco, described the new radio station saying that it was radio that wasn't still, that was constantly renewing itself.
Es una radio que no está quieta, que se está renovando constantemente.
And since then, it hasn't stopped. Newscasts, headlines, and reports make up this public service that is still kicking today.
And 100 years ago, in 1924, the telecommunications company Telefónica was founded.
Just a few years later, it had 100,000 phone lines, and the first transatlantic phone call took place between Alphonse XIII and the US president at the time, Calvin Coolidge.
In the 40s, the Spanish state acquired a 79% stake in the company, and in the 60s, the company installed phone boxes in Spanish streets.
1 million telephone lines were installed in 1955, a number that rose to 10 million by 1978. In the 80s, the women that worked in the company as operators were let go, the last of their kind, Magdalena Martín.
Hicieron la llamada, cuando se terminó, pues se llevaron el cuadro, la silla.
When the last call ended, they took everything, the frame, my chair, everything.
In 1997, the company became private again. In the year 2000, it branched out overseas. In 2005, it was the third biggest operator worldwide.
And today, it's still kicking with smartphones, fiber optics, and instant messaging apps.
We'll talk about one of the events celebrating the company's anniversary later on, but first... Now, in a move that could further escalate already boiling tensions in the Middle East, Israel carried out a strike inside Iran yesterday, as we mentioned earlier on. Undoubtedly, its first direct response to Iran's unprecedented April 13 drone and missile strike. At least 3 explosions were heard in the central city of Isfahan near a military base. There were no preliminary reports of casualties or significant damage. But why the April 13th strike? How did Iran and Israel get from cooperation to confrontation? Details with our correspondent from the Middle East, Elsa Yazbek Charabati.
The 30th of April attack was codenamed Operation True Promise because it was done in retaliation for the Israeli airstrike on an Iranian consulate annexed in Damascus, used by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps 2 weeks earlier. But why this war declaration now? It is important to know that Iran and Israel do not share common borders, have had no wars between them, and have no territorial claims on each other. Moreover, under the Iran Shah Pahlavi regime, the two countries had close ties, in fact, a strategic alliance. This period of close ties had come to an abrupt end in 1979 with the creation of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And since, their relationship dramatically changed, with Tehran becoming a vocal supporter of Palestinians. The Arab-Israeli conflict has become a religious crusade as against a political national conflict. Iran's involvement in Lebanon, with the creation in 1982 of Hezbollah militia that became a political Lebanese party, and its moral, political, and logistical support for Palestinian Islamist movements, made it more directly involved in the Arab-Israeli conflict. Its attempts to purchase and develop nuclear weapons, along with the missile technology to deliver them, were viewed as other serious challenges by Israel. The enmity grew over the decades as both sides sought to cement and grow their power and influence across the region. It is a rivalry for domination and power in the region. The two states have been embroiled in a low-level war for more than a decade. And now, more than ever, with the long Israeli war against Gaza, Iran feels that it is high time to react. Elsa Yazbek Sharabati from Beirut for Radio Exterior de España.
You're tuned to the English Language Service of Spanish National Radio. And we'd like to remind listeners that you can get in touch with us via email at the address english@rtve.es. And you can also send us WhatsApp voice notes to the number 34-680-688-698. And we especially enjoy receiving letters and postcards, which you can send to RNE, Casa de la Radio, Avenida Radio y Televisión 4, postal code 28223, Madrid, Spain.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, Spain's telecommunications company Telefónica is celebrating its 100th anniversary. For this anniversary, it is collaborating with Madrid's Prado Museum in an initiative called El Arte que Conecta, The Art That Connects. Amy visited the Prado to learn more.
The Prado Museum is Spain's main national art museum, and within its walls live masterpieces from painters such as Velázquez, Goya, Rubens, Murillo. And well, this year, some of those paintings will be leaving the confines of the Prado in Madrid to visit different regions within Spain. A total of 18 paintings will be placed in museums all over the country for an event in collaboration with Telefónica for the telecommunications company's 100th anniversary. We're here at the Prado Museum with the Manager of Preservation of the Prado, Victor Cajeao, to talk about this initiative. Thank you for joining us on the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio.
Hello, good morning. I'm delighted for being here with you.
Okay, so first of all, I have to ask, what connection does Telefónica, a telecommunications company, have with the Prado Museum?
Well, Telefónica is one of our benefactors from a lot of years ago. From 2005, more or less, is our benefactor, and we develop several projects with them, and now we are working with Telefónica in this very beautiful project connecting to art, and it's a double joy for us because we are organizing a very interesting project, and they are celebrating its centenary. centennial, 100 years ago, Telefonica was a reality, and it's, I think, a magnificent opportunity for working together.
Now, this initiative is called El Arte que Conecta, the art that connects. And I was wondering, has the Prado Museum done anything like this before, taken pieces from the museum to other museums within Spain?
Well, Prado, the Prado Museum, has a lot of paintings and sculptures now in other institutions, because we are working with an initiative called Prado Extendido that consists in that a lot of items of our collections, more than 2,000 collections, are now in several institutions all over the country, in all the autonomical communities and autonomic cities. We have paintings, but we are developing this project, El Arte que Conecta, or Connecting to Art, or that connects, with a different form, because 18 masterpieces of Prado Museums are going to be in 18 cities in the country, one for each autonomic community or autonomic city, Ceuta and Melilla. In each city, we have chosen with Telefonica a museum for having this masterpiece for a time of a month, more or less.
So you mentioned that there are thousands of artworks belonging to the Prado in different museums all around Spain, but I was wondering if there was also another version of what you're doing now, this sort of tour, so to speak.
Well, yes. In 2018, between 2018 and 2019, we had an antecedent, I can say, of this project, El Arte que Conecta. Its name was On Tour Through Spain, De Gira por España. For commemorating the bicentennial of Prado Museum. At that time, Prado has chosen 12 works of art, because such of them went to two museums. Were to 18 cities in Spain, not the same cities as El Arte que Conecta, except Ceuta and Melilla. So it's a very interesting experience, and we are now working in a similar form for organizing El Arte que Conecta.
These 12 works of art, did they all travel together, or...?
No. We are sending each work after the other. And now, for example, we have two in exhibition, and from next Monday we had one more, but each work is one month in El Arte que Conecta, and also on Tour Through Spain was the same. 1 month for each work of art in each museum.
Let's talk about the artworks and the places they're going to. Are there reasons each artwork has been assigned to each place?
We wanted to have very important masters of the Prado collection in this project. So we have chosen two works of art by Velázquez, another two by Goya, and also masterpieces by Rivera, Zurbarán, Murillo, Guas, Claudio de Lorena, for example. Not in all the cases there is a strong relation between the city or the museum and the masterpiece, but sometimes there is a very, very clear relation. For example, we have chosen a very, very interesting painting by Claudio de Lorena for the first museum in the L'Arte che Connecta, the National Museum of Subaquatic Archaeology, ARQUA, in Cartagena, and the painting, the embankment of St. Paula, is a painting related with the sea and the harbour, a hypothetical Roman harbour with a big relation with ARQUA. Sometimes, for example, the masterpiece we have chosen is painted by an artist born in the city. For example, in Avilés, Asturias, we are going to have in El Arte que Conecta a portrait of a child by Carreño de Miranda, a painter that was born in Avilés.
Mm-hmm. I see. So in Cartagena, you mentioned that it would be in the archaeological museum. Yeah. So how did you choose which museums particularly to send these works to?
For this initiative, for this project, we wanted to have a collection of museums that different subjects. We have all, of course, several museums of fine arts, but also we have we wanted to have archaeological museums, contemporary art museums, and general museums, the provincial museums, in very, very important in Spain, for having all a panorama of the museological question in our country. So, for example, as you have said, I have chosen ARQUA, but also we have chosen other types of museums. And also different kinds of museums. If we think about the institution that manages the museum, we have state museums, but also museums of the municipalities and even a private museum.
Going back to the artworks, when you chose the artworks that you were going to send away, you've chosen masterpieces from the Prado collection. So I was wondering, does it hurt to send them away, or are there some art pieces that you couldn't send away because they're so vital to the Prado here?
No, we one of the questions that we think that it was very important for the success of this project is that the works of art were masterpieces. I think almost all the pieces we are going to have in the 18 cities are masterpieces that now are in the permanent exhibition. So we have to work hard with all the technicians of Prado Museums for making renovations of the exhibition halls, for having other masterpieces. But I think it's important, the quality of the works of art, because we wanted to know that masters and that that paintings that could represent the main highlights of the collection of Prado Museum.
So these are masterpieces and you are sending them away. I wonder how the transportation and care of these paintings will go down. Is that a whole big thing?
Yeah. When we talk about the project and we say that we are working with 18 pieces, you can think, it's easy to, it's an easy project. It's not an easy project, I think, because because, as you have said, we must take a lot of care with the transportation, the conservation measures, security question. So it's a project with a very, very delicate management for a long period, more than 1 year. We are working in El Arteque Conecta more than 1 year, but now we are in the very happy moment with the first pieces in the museums in exhibition in Arqua, for example, and in the Casa del Reloj in Melilla, and we are now going to La Rioja, Mérida in Extremadura, Avilés in Asturias, etc. From April the 2nd to December the 8th in this 2024.
So you're finally seeing, after a year of work, you're finally seeing everything sort of happen. I guess that's a relief.
Yeah, of course. It's a relief, and it's we are very, very happy with the project. And I think that one question very, very, very important for us is the collaboration we have with the 18 museums. Mm-hmm. Some of them are big museums, but a lot of them are small museums that are very, very happy with the proposal, and they are working with us, and so we are a big national museum, but we are working with several institutions and with other characteristics, and I think it's one of the most important things for us.
Talking about these museums in these different regions, why is this important? To take art to all of these different regions, to these different communities?
Well, it's important because also I have said before that Prado Museum has already more than 3,000 paintings or sculptures in all over the country, and you can see paintings of the Prado collection in La Coruña or Sevilla or Valencia. I think it's important organizing projects like El Arte que Conecta, because we can create synergies with other institutions and with the people in that cities, sometimes small cities that can see and enjoy this works of art by Velázquez or Goya that not always are in these cities. It's not, sometimes it's not very easy for all that people to come here to Madrid for seeing the paint. For seeing the paintings in Prado.
So I guess what you're saying is it really grants accessibility for people to have a chance to see these works of art.
Okay, it's that we must, as a national museum we must work in reach our collection in not only Madrid, but also in other cities in Spain.
Victor Cajeao, manager of preservation of the Prado Museum, thank you so much for talking with the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio.
Thank you very much to you for your interest. Sorry because of my English, not very good as we desire, but well, thank you very much.
Your English was great. Thank you so much.
I think no. I have to study.
<laughs> that brings us to the end of today's broadcast. You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio with Amy Egan
and Marilyn Quintana. Today we've had help from sound technician Juan Morello and production help from Cristina Dorado.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in again for future broadcasts.
En Radio Nacional no solo hablamos español.
Una Madrid.
Las emisiones de Radio Exterior de España en inglés. Francés. Ruso. Árabe. Y portugués. Están en los podcasts de nuestra web. Descárgatelos y escúchalos en rtve.es.